All right, folks, welcome back, and thanks for coming back for the sharing session. This is going to go until 6:15, and then we'll break for dinner. Big announcement on this, though, is please, before you go to dinner, make sure you stop at the Birds of a Feather table right there at registration and sign up for topics of interest. We definitely want to get as much representation of what you want on those lists so that we can choose some good topics for you. Those topics will be announced via the app during dinner, so we will send a push notification telling you that the schedule has been updated on the app. You will also find those topics listed at the registration table when you return from dinner if you're not using the app. All right, so at this point what we're up to is a sharing session about pretty much anything. This can be things that you got in the previous sessions, things that you heard that you want to talk more about, things that you didn't hear that you do want to talk about, things that you came here with that you want to make sure that people hear about, or questions that you have that you're looking for some other folks' experience with. So that's what this session is all about. So does anybody have anything that they like? Please make sure you go up to the mic. This could prove to be a very short session.
That was a crack at my height, wasn't it? Yeah. Blaine, alcoholic. Man, I'm having a great time. One of the things that has struck me that I just didn't foresee would actually occur. I was talking with some other folks about it here recently is... So this is the third event like this that we've had, and there are, I don't know, half, a third, there's a number of people that are attending this weekend that have been to all three. There's many that have been to like one other and not, and then there's probably half, I don't know, people that have never seen this event. And it struck me as I noticed that some of us aren't necessarily introducing ourselves at the mic regularly because we think everybody knows who we are, because we know those same 30 people that are running around or whatever. And it struck me that for the amount of people here that haven't seen a technology-focused workshop in Alcoholics Anonymous, because another one doesn't exist, should probably, you know that how that happened. And I wish I could reflect back to 2 years ago. But for me, it just means I want to share about things that that I think I wouldn't naturally share about right now because I feel like it's already out there somewhere, right? Or it's been talked about. And what's really cool and the thing that keeps me just loving this thing is that it is that missing piece. We've got even the technical people here that we have are, they might be web-related, they might be focused in other areas of technology for AA, but they're not in the same way. We have people here from areas, people here from districts, people here from intergroups. We have some visitors from, I think, at least one, if not both, of our corporate boards in New York. We have a whole bunch, maybe 40% of the attendees here are service people that if you talk to them about a database, they wouldn't know what the heck you're talking about, but they know that this is really important to what we're doing in AA, and they're longtime service people. So I've just been kind of walking around introducing myself to people whenever I see a face I don't know, because it's really cool to see where everybody's coming from, and definitely pair up during dinner, get in groups, do whatever, and the hospitality room's going to be open all night for us to hang out and chat, and I guess there's games up there, so cool. Thanks.
John Dillon, alcoholic. As a quick introduction, Area 44 website chair. So that's Northern New Jersey for those that don't know. The question that I wanted to throw out to see what other people might be doing is how you guys handle email. Currently within our structure, emails are forwarded to people. So we lose that continuity of that email history. And my belief is that that's like our intellectual property that way, that email. It's how we keep a continuity, it's contacts, it's whatever else is going on in there. So with this whole forwarding that we do, we lose that. We're looking at a change to happen, and we may bring that back where we're not doing forwards, but I'm curious how other people have been handling that, the solutions that you guys have done for it, pushback and resistance that may have happened, so.
Throwing it out there. Get some conversation started.
Hi, I'm Sam. I'm an alcoholic. I'm the webmaster for District 23 of Area 51, which is Greensboro, North Carolina. And we were very lucky in that we got Google we got Google Apps back when it was still free. And so we were kind of grandfathered in with the freebie. We didn't have to jump through the hoops of doing anything for nonprofit. However, that is still a fantastic solution that we have been utilizing all along. Our email addresses are by title. So we have DCM, alternate DCM, et cetera. And each time we have a rotation of service, the email account settings are reset, so to speak. We change the password on the account. We change the first name, last initial on the account, that type of thing. But it maintains exactly what you were asking about, that continuity. The person who is moving into the CPCPI position is still in contact with all the people that the previous CPI chair has been working with. So that's worked out really well for us. Now, we have told folks that they do have the option of forwarding email to their personal accounts, but we don't recommend it, and it's exactly for that reason. Thanks.
Hey, guys, I'm James Alcoholic. This is my first NAATW. Still getting the hang of that. And I'm the technology chair at San Francisco's Intergroup. I'm curious, you know, in the existence so far, what communications happen ongoing in between conferences for this community? I ask that question namely because I am interested to kind of be able to continue the conversation and the dialogue and know, you know, what kind of cool things people are doing in their respective areas and service boards. You know, the communication platform that comes to mind is Slack. I don't know if this committee already uses Slack. If so, you know, is that like, how are people being invited to that? How is that conversation being continued on? Just some thoughts and questions thrown out to the group there. Thanks.
My name is Lou. I'm an alcoholic. I guess for something completely different for what I stood up for. Two things. One is that there is a Slack team for NAATW, and several of us are admins on that, and I can get you added into that if you'd like. There's also an ongoing forum that is out there. It's called TIAA-forum.org, and sending a request to info@TIAA-forum.org will get you an invite that you can deal with that. So the reason I stood up was that I'm on the website committee for Area 10, and what we've done in Area 10 regarding email is, as each servant comes into their position, they're offered the opportunity of either reading their receiving and reading email directly off of the area chair at ColoradoAA.org or whatever their selective position is, or they can have the email forwarded. However, when they do get email forwarded to their personal address, there still is an archive. There's something that's kept to be handed over to the next position. So it's not really an either or sort of situation. You can preserve the institutional memory of the position, as well as keep all of the previous email threads that are out there. We are evaluating other options, and one of the things that came up in the forum over the course of the last year was, what is your service body using? And it seems like a lot of the people, there were only like 10 or 15 respondents to that survey, but the majority of folks are using some variation of the Google Apps platform. Thanks.
So if you're doing the forward on the email, and then it's sent to my personal email, when I respond back, it's going to come from my personal email. So you're losing that continuity then. How do you guys address that part if people are forwarding it?
Good question, and you're right. You can lose the reply or response, but quite often what happens is that you can sort of glean on an ongoing thread of what's gone on. We do request when somebody has that set up that way that you would turn over your email history that's relative to the area. Most of us keep, I don't know, as we all go through and filter our sent folders and things like that to deal with that. But it is requested that all that gets passed on. And I would say of the dozen or so standing committee chairs and office area officers, it's haphazardly followed, but it is one of the recommendations.
I'm Jackson. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jackson.
Privileged to serve as Manhattan General Service Meeting web chair and alternate Southeastern New York web chair. And I was going to say about the email, that's been a hot topic at the Southeastern New York's web committee, which has been contentious at times. So we came up with a vendor selection process where we evaluated things based on manageability, reliability, support, documentation, and security, and we looked at a couple different vendors. So it's a broader topic that was important to many members of the web committee. I also encourage people to use their service emails. We currently use Gmail. Some people felt that they were being served ads related to alcohol recovery or alcohol based on their use of service emails. Conflicting opinions about whether that matters or not or what it means, but it was a reality that members of the Southeastern New York Web Committee saw. So that led to this whole revisiting email providers. And we looked at 1in1, GoDaddy, Email Pros, and VMrex, which is actually a HIPAA-compliant email hosting service, which was kind of interesting just to look at. And so, yeah, it was a hot topic at our web committee.
My name's Paul. I'm an alcoholic with John from Area 44 in northern New Jersey. You know, we looked at the scope of the problems we were having with, not really problems, but, you know, the email forwarding, losing that continuity from one servant to the next, how to transition. Also, our archive committee needs a considerable amount of space. And we went through a similar review process, as was just mentioned. Where we came to was Microsoft offers their web version of Office 365, which gives our servants the full suite of Office products, Word, Excel, et cetera, along with email. And it's currently not needing to be grandfathered for free. But it also comes with 1 terabyte of disk space per user. So as we create those admin accounts, we'll be implementing that probably during the first quarter of next year. We should be complete. And it'll also help us with the storage requirements. The topic John brought up is important to us because when we go through this implementation, we have the opportunity where we're considering saying, making it a little stronger than a recommendation that you don't use forwards. It's a web-based platform, and we want to maintain the archive history. So we just don't know that that's the right approach. So this has actually been a really good topic, and the comments have been appreciated. And I hope the 0365 comments help you guys.
Daniel Alcoholic. I am from the Baltimore, Maryland Intergroup Website Committee. One question I had, and this sort of relates to something I was talking about earlier about data portability, but I'm interested in how people, specifically from intergroups, deal with sort of maintaining a canonical meeting database and then taking that data both out to the web and then also to the print directory, and how you deal with having either multiple databases and keeping those in sync, or whether you have a canonical one that then gets scripted and exported to the two places, or how everyone's dealing with that and what that looks like for you. Because I, while I have a little bit more influence as far as how we do things on the web, the canonical database is not the web database. And so right now we have a script that takes a CSV that gets exported out of an Access database and imports that into a SQL database, and it's a whole thing. So I would prefer it to be less of a thing, but that is, again, outside of my control. So thanks.
Hi, I'm Josh Alcoholic, and I'm the webmaster for San Jose Intergroup, and I have developed a WordPress plugin that a number of areas are using to list meetings, and also an mobile app for iOS and Android. And and to answer Daniel's question in the best knowledge that I have, I have the opportunity to work with a lot of different areas and hear from a lot of them in terms of how they're handling that disconnect between the printed guide and the and so one case example is that the most common thing I see are that a lot of areas are using Access, Microsoft Access. And so that's the way that they've always done it. They set it up in the late 90s to early 2000s, and then they just keep that up to date, and then they also keep their web database up to date. That's sort of option A. Option B is that they have Access, and that's also true, incidentally, for San Jose Intergroup. I've never really looked at their Access database, because they haven't asked me to, but I think that they're kind of getting to the point where they want to deal with it. Option B is that there's an Access database, and then they take that information periodically and export that to the web. And so that I see a very common in with this WordPress plugin, and I can help them to create a way to convert it automatically. Like, normally there's a standard format that the WordPress plugin takes to import your meetings into it, but that standard format can be modified. And so, like, for this weekend when I get some time, I'm going to be helping New Hampshire, where they've got just got different field names and different field values. And so there's like, you can insert a step between that and the kind of final upload process. But it doesn't seem like that to the user. It's just that that will get, that info can kind of get pre-processed. But then the third thing that I've been kind of working on, this or option C, is I've been working with New York City Intergroup, because they just recently moved over to the WordPress plugin. And it's really thanks, incidentally, to this conference existing, because I met the New York City people at NATW last year, and they were really eager to find a new solution to the thing they were working on. It's been a really successful project and a database that hasn't been updated since at least 2005. You know, the website has recently switched over to this new platform, and it's been working really well. But they have a huge meeting book. It's hundreds of pages. And so what I've developed with them is that they're going to keep the exact same format and the exact same meeting book, but instead of, they were using a Word document, and they would keep that up to date as well as their Cold Fusion system. And now it generates that PDF directly from the website. But what's cool about it is that it generates it like so that it's really kind of, it fits exactly their very particular format. And it's you know, a few hundred pages, and then there's at least 20 pages of indexes at the end that need to know, like, okay, so all the men's meetings are on pages like 2, 7, 9, 14, all the way, you know. and or by zip code, you know. So like at the end, there's just a list of like, you know, each zip code, and there, it is a little bit confusing the way that the format is, so that if you, the zip code wouldn't necessarily all be together. But anyway, so that's been something that I've been working on, and if I get some time, I'd gotten a question about sort of what are the backlog of things that you're thinking about adding to the app. One of them would be like a standardized PDF, you know, format that you could print directly from the meeting database. So those are my experiences. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Mari. I'm an alcoholic from San Francisco. I'm not a tech person. I run the central office. But last year at this conference, Michael, our webmaster, and I gave a presentation on our content management system, which Michael designed, and it runs. It's the back end for our website, and it also is available for all of our committees to use for their outreach. So we have two databases. We have that one, and we have QuickBooks. And there's a common field so that we can pull information from QuickBooks and upload it into the content management system. And to get our printed schedule, which we just do once, maybe twice a year, it's just a simple report that we goes into a table and we pop it into our 3x5 pocket size schedule and send to the printer. So we have a sweet system, and I recommend all intergroups and central offices use something similar.
Hi, Ray Titus from the Annapolis Area Intergroup. We have a single database. It's a MySQL database, and for all of our meetings. And I'd written an app online to do online searches, but I've also got separate apps to download that into a Word format, and a second app that downloads it into a Excel spreadsheet format. So really, when we needed to come up with a new printed copy, which was, for example, last week, I just ran the app, produced a Word format, Word document that was almost exactly the right format. The only thing I had to do was change font size and line spacing and that type of thing, and then save it as a PDF and send it off to the printer. So we just have a single repository. I just met with, hopefully, our new webmaster yesterday. I've been doing it for 7 years, and we talked about switching to WordPress. So I'm interested in talking with Josh about that experience and what to look out for. Thank you.
I'm Sam. I'm an alcoholic. And at District 23 last year, we implemented Josh's plugin as well, and it has received rave reviews throughout this past year, mainly from so many people who are using it on the mobile. And it's just one of the things, a new feature that was implemented that has helped us get better data in our database for the meeting list, and that is there's a link at the bottom of every entry that lets someone say there's something wrong with this, and it sends me a link to the entry and allows me to correct the information. So I am a major advocate for that WordPress plugin. Thank you very much, Josh.
John's alcohol. And one of the things I find in Northern New Jersey that happens is our committees do a lot of great 12-step work, but they don't look at their committee pages on their website and how that gets used. We recently worked with our corrections committee to really look at their webpage in three parts. How does it serve their committee? How does it serve the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and how does it serve the public? And this was all in conversations happening with our corrections chair and multiple times, and like the light bulb finally went on. But so what they did was they redesigned it so that there's like three different parts of it so that it serves each component. We have trouble with getting people to really get engaged with looking at their pages and getting those updated. I wonder how other people have sort of gotten across those roadblocks. with people that are just, they're focused on what they're doing, and that's great because we need that 12-step work. But your website and your webpage, to me, is also part of that 12-step work. Because if people are looking for AA, and especially for our people facing entities of it, like public information, treatment, corrections, along those lines, if you don't have something encouraging people saying, this is why you should be looking at AA for whoever, how are we using that as a tool that it should be? So if you've, how have you overcome some of those obstacles with people in keeping their pages being dynamic?
Josh, again, I have been working a little bit with DC, Washington DC, and they've got a lot of committee pages, and we implemented contact forms on the pages so that, you know, they're dynamic contact forms so that they can, you know, later change who the, you know, but it generates an email, and usually it's to several people. Like if the website contact form goes to me, but then also to the guy who's running the website committee, and then also to like a catch-all like website at aadc.org. And the reason why that's really valuable, I think, is because you're getting the members of the public that are contacting you, referencing the information that's on that page. And I think that what happens in a lot of cases is that it may not be clear to the PICPC chair what info is on the page because they didn't write it. You know, they just inherited the position, you know, 6 months ago, and they've got other things that they're worrying about. But if they're receiving emails from the public, then I think that that'll remind them what's there and that, you know, the importance of having that there. Thanks.
Hey, Fred Alcoholic. So this is something that I put some thought into for Area 49. And one thing is, like, I know that obviously it's great to make websites dynamic, but I think in AA, like, my perspective is, for the most part, we should just accept the reality that that is probably not going to be sustainable and that we should keep them pretty evergreen. And one of the things we've done is we've used MailChimp and shifting to like an email newsletter to kind of serve as kind of the platform for that kind of dynamic content. I actually think that's like a more natural fit for it in a way. So I feel like in going for the gold, like sometimes we wind up like getting disqualified altogether when we're trying to make the websites dynamic kind of a thing. But with respect to committee pages, I'm sure I've seen your website, but it's probably been a while. So this is not specific to your site, but I kind of feel like generally there should not be a page for every committee, right? Like these websites get so sprawling and it becomes like these little Byzantine empires. And I just, yeah, I think generally we don't need pages for every single committee. And the one page that is on the CINI website that that I was super happy about is aacini.org/service. And so that kind of reflected the approach we took in the last rotation. And it basically frames it, like basically throws out the word committees to a certain extent. Because that becomes like our introduction to service. And it's like, oh, great, I get to go to another business meeting. I already hate those. As opposed to like, and what's PI, you know? Like, instead of using that lingo, we framed it in terms of like service opportunities. Like, you could speak at a school. You could do this. You could do that. And then there was a call to action for each little section on the site. So it would list like a few cool things you could do related to accessibility, special needs, PI, treatment facilities. And then there would be a button that said like, email the PI chair. And that way you're kind of like, instead of trying to get the website to kind of, if you want to think of it in like business terms, like to be responsible for the entirety of that conversion, like you want to lower the action that you're asking them to take as opposed to attending a committee meeting and putting all that information on the site and just get them to pique their interest enough to click that button, talk to another human, and that human can find out like what are they really into, what's the best fit for them, do they actually want to come to a committee meeting and build rapport there. So that's kind of like the conceptual approach we took with CINI, and that's aacini.org/service. Oh, sorry, aaseny.org/service.
All right, and that seems like a good place for us to wrap up. It's time to go to dinner. Before you go to dinner, if you have not signed up for the Birds of a Feather topics, please stop by that table on the way out. And I hope you enjoy your dinner. Come back for Birds of a Feather. We'll let you know what they are via the app, and we'll post it at the registration table.